Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons announced officially now that they're going to move downtown to start next season, play in the same arena as the Red Wings, right off Woodward. A lot of people are excited about this. I am probably in the most skeptical camp. And that's because I believe whenever you're spending taxpayer dollars, there needs to be a real commitment to spending those soundly, to spending those in the right way. If Tom Gores wants to spend his own money, I don't care. If he wants to play in Auburn Hills, if he wants to play in Detroit, if he wants to move the team out of Michigan entirely, that's his right if he's paying his own money. It's when taxpayers kick in that alarms go off, especially because basically every time that taxpayers have contributed to an arena, it has not been worth it. They have not gotten their money's worth. It has not been helpful enough to the economy based on what taxpayers kick in. Maybe this is an exception. I don't think that the local governments and the sports owners who put these deals together have earned the benefit of the doubt. In fact, I think they've earned everybody being skeptical about this, and I urge you to be skeptical as well. Detroit has real needs. It needs improved schools. It needs safer neighborhoods. And any money that goes to the Pistons does not directly go toward those very important things. You could build a case, potentially, that the money generated in economic activity will help the schools, help police, help in the long term in tax revenue. But I think that's a difficult case. We're still learning a lot about this particular deal. The Pistons and the Detroit Downtown Developmental Authority have done a solid job of, until today, keeping a lot of the details under wraps. But what it seems like we know, the city will contribute $34.5 million to alter the stadium, the new arena, so it can host an NBA team in addition to the Red Wings, and that the Pistons will pay all costs for construction, and that the Pistons made some pledges about donating $2.5 million for basketball courts in the city, employ a certain number of Detroit residents, and provide some free tickets to worthy causes in Detroit. The questions are going to come about once we see the exact documents, and it's going to be a little time until those emerge. The big thing to keep in mind is that not everything as it's presented today is exactly how it's going to appear in print. Like, again, this is over and over how it has worked. There is a more favorable view of this presented on a day like today when everybody's excited by this new announcement. Some things to watch for as we learn the new terms, to see whether there is exactly this cap on spending from the city. Don't be fooled by one piece of spin, by the way, that's already being put out there, that it's not Detroit general fund dollars. Well, the Downtown Developmental Authority, like, that money that they have that could go toward the general fund, like, it's structured in a way to keep this separate. But that just makes it harder for the general fund to have money. So this is just splitting up the pot in a way, and it's commonly done to make it look like that this money is separate, but it could be together. This is just a choice Detroit has made in how it has structured its local government. So the big things to watch for is whether this cap on what the city will spend for this truly exists. What happens to tax revenue captured in this new entertainment district? That's going to be key. Sometimes that can go to places that are not always the most altruistic places. and like these job commitments, these things like that, how binding they are. Sometimes it's just suggested. Sometimes it's more of a requirement. Sometimes there are more firm punishments for teams that don't make that. So a lot of these specifics are going to come in. But I will say this. I think I've gotten enough of way out of this, the skepticism. I will say this very positively, that if it only costs $34.5 million only to get the Pistons downtown, it might be a good deal. And that sort of speaks to how out of whack that so many of these arena deals are that cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And I don't want to give too much credit, because I do believe overall for the amount paid for this arena and what it costs to get the Red Wings to not even move from the suburbs from a different place. They were already downtown. It was, this arena overall is a horrible deal for the city of Detroit, I believe. And I don't think this has changed that. But I do think, okay, adding another $34.5 million to get a second team, to get it filled for 40 more dates, that could be good. Could be. I don't have much sympathy for that, though, because the people who put together the Red Wings side of the deal are the same people who put together the Pistons side. So I'm not ready to be like, oh, well, they inherited a bad deal, then they made the best of it that they could. No, it was it's a bad deal overall, but maybe you don't feel as bad about the Pistons side of it. Maybe Tom Gores deserves credit for putting up some of his money. He's been very open to spending on the Pistons. He poured a ton of money into the Palace since buying the team, which is sort of a curious thing as we stand here now, why he did that. And I'll admit, I'm just confused by that. If you have any answers as to why he's doing that, I'd love to hear them. Again, I'm on Twitter at Dan Feldman, NBA. But this is where the Pistons are. I think a lot of people are excited about the move downtown. They feel good about the Pistons being in the city. They might not live in the city. They might not even go to Pistons games. But I think people are excited about this idea, and maybe it'll pay off. I think the Pistons have proven to be a team that draws great crowds when they're winning and terrible crowds when they're losing. Pistons fans are generally fair weather. I don't think that's going to change downtown. I think this team needs to win to draw fans. There might be an initial bump the first season, maybe two. People would be excited to check out the new arena. But I don't think that's going to be sustainable unless the team is winning. Speaking of Pistons fans, one more point I'd like to make on this before we go on to the Rockets game last night. I've seen multiple articles talking about what do Pistons fans think about it, this. And I think the point of those articles misses the point so much. Because this is not really about Pistons fans. Pistons fans are not taxed. It's people in Detroit who are taxed. And it's the non-Pistons fans who really don't have a say, who don't, and also don't get anything out of this. If you're a Pistons fan and you're in Detroit, it might be more convenient for them to be here, and you might be willing to pay that tax. In a sense, it's sort of subsidizing the tickets you'll eventually buy. Now, there's a freeloader problem here, maybe, because people who come down from the suburbs, they don't have to pay that tax. But it's the non-Pistons fans, the people who don't care about the Pistons or barely care about the Pistons, who have to pay these taxes, who are not really given the option of opting out. And don't forget that. I know everybody here listening is a Pistons fan, and so I'm not speaking to my audience right now, but I'm speaking to you about a different audience, a different group of people who get the shaft on this, who are paying taxes to bring the Pistons downtown and really don't get that much from it. The economic activity, the numbers you are going to see cited, those are always inflated. Those don't account for the fact that if there were no basketball team in downtown Detroit, it's not like nobody would spend money. People would still go out to dinner. They'd go out to the bar. They'd do other things. They'd go to concerts. People have so much disposable income. A lot of times moving an additional thing down here does not increase the amount of economic activity. It just moves that around. It moves it from other restaurants to ones by the arena. And so to have that taxpayer money going toward that, just moving around money and benefiting certain people rather than other certain people, not my thing. All right, that's enough on the new arena. Let's go to the Pistons' loss to the Rockets last night. We're going to jump right to the end. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope steps to the line with 9 seconds left. Pistons down two, makes the first free throw, and then misses the second. And that's pretty much Detroit's best chance to win the game, up in smoke. And the number of times I've heard choke after that KCP choked, I can't get behind that. Maybe he choked, but you have no idea. I have no idea. When you choke, you are overcome by the moment. The pressure gets to you. I have no idea whether that's what happened. We don't know what's in his head. He played a very good game. He played an excellent game. He helped slow down James Harden. He might have been the Pistons' best player throughout this game. Okay, he missed a free throw. That's not great. That's not ideal. But what makes you think that it was because of the pressure of the moment? He missed a free throw earlier in the game, too. Was that because of the pressure of the moment? There's a lot of assigning of a reason there that I think is a lot of supposition. I can't get behind that. He might have choked. He might not have. I'm definitely not accusing him of choking. What I can say for certain is he had an excellent game. What went wrong? The Pistons got beat on the glass again. That was a key theme of Stan Van Gundy's post-game press conference. I offered up one solution that maybe players are just doing a better job of contesting. It gets them out of position going for rebounds. They haven't really found the balance yet of how to contest and get a rebound. He didn't really like that. He really wanted to put that on effort. I still do think there's some truth to that. I also think there's truth to the fact that Stan Van Gundy wants to put these things on effort. He wants to motivate his players. He wants them to overcome this through effort. He wants them to be more committed to rebounding. He singled out the forwards, Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris. They only got 4 rebounds between the two of them in 55 minutes. Probably not going to cut it. Definitely did not cut it on this night. And Tobias Harris really got an earful from Van Gundy at the press conference. Harris was in foul trouble and just a lot of talking with the officials, just not really happy throughout the night. And Van Gundy said a lot of his talking and complaining was about trying to get going on offense, so focused on offense, not focused enough on defense or rebounding. Part of the reason Tobias Harris played only 20 minutes. That opened the door for Stanley Johnson to get 10 minutes, so he was a part of the rotation last night, if you're keeping track of that. He did have that did-not-play coach's decision the other night. Is Stanley Johnson going to remain part of the rotation when Tobias Harris is playing better and not in foul trouble? We'll see. I'm not sure if this is a permanent spot. The Pistons went 10 deep. Sometimes they go 9 deep, and I don't know who that odd man out is going to be, Stanley Johnson or Reggie Bullock. It's been Stanley Johnson. I have a sense it's going to continue to be Stanley Johnson if it's 9 men, but I think it's also a very, very fine line and could go either way. Definitely something to keep an eye on. And the other thing to watch for is Reggie Jackson returning. Hopefully that comes soon. Every update seems to be positive that he's doing more on the court. So hopefully that's around the corner soon, because again, Ish Smith and Ben Udre were fine at best. Nothing really great. This was one of Ish Smith's better games, I would say, against the Rockets, and that just sort of shows you how much there is left to be desired. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. The Pistons face the Heat tomorrow. We'll have more on that game beforehand. We're here every Monday through Friday throughout the season. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.